gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is RBN, which is republicbroadcasting.org. It is the bat cave of free speech, the bat cave of free speech. And I say it twice because I mean it twice. It shines the bat light of free speech, and we're all attracted to it. And Mark Collins attracted to the bat light of free speech. And that's why he's here with me today. Mark, welcome.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Very good to be here. I want to say something. Free speech is one of those odd things. Here in the UK, I'm kind of sick of hearing about the term free speech, because usually when we hear about free speech here in the UK, we tend to have a bit of an issue where the person saying it is someone like Sargon of Akkad or Tommy Robinson. And I don't want to get into a huge thing of bashing these people. When they say free speech, what they usually is that they want freedom to sort of criticize Muslims, or freedom to, in Sargon's case, to make rape jokes.
Yeah.
But they don't really want freedom of speech for anyone that tackles the Jewish issue. It is a very odd thing, is freedom of speech, in that I'm sort of quite open to letting adults discuss what they want. I'm very different when it comes to pushing children. But it's a kind of strange, isn't it, that these so-called sort of free speech absolutists, these classical liberals, as they like to call themselves, it's all sort of freedom of speech, freedom. They even hold rallies called the Day for Freedom. But when somebody like Alison Chablow is being taken to prison, someone like Ursula Haverbeck in Germany is being carted off at the age of, you know, the age of 89 for saying mean things about the Holocaust. You know, these people quickly disappear, don't they? They don't have much to say then. But free speech is their first cry when they get even the most mildest amount of censorship. And I was speaking to a young lad today who attended a free speech event and actually got removed because he was talking about things that made other people feel uncomfortable at a free speech event. And I do find these free speech crusaders quite a conundrum, really.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, before we move on, because it's the beginning of the show and it's my habit, I also like to talk about Co-Certified. And Co-Certified is free speech. Somebody needs to talk about the kosher certification industry. And you need to learn about it. And it's hard because they don't want you talking about it. But in reality, I spend a lot of time in supermarkets sometimes. And if you look on the shelves, you just see all of these U's in circles or K's in triangles. And what does it all mean? And it all means that the manufacturers are paying a bunch of Orthodox rabbis to come in and look at their production facilities and give them the kosher seal of approval. And what do they do with this money? Well, some of the money gets used for supporting, policy, Israeli wars against people that we don't want to have wars against. So the Co-Certified app, download it from the nationalbugle.com, and you'll be glad you did. In the United States, on the one hand, we have the First Amendment, which guarantees free speech, but it's kind of a government guarantee of free speech. And what we're finding, I mean, there are other countries, you mentioned Germany or England, or I suppose you could mention Canada, where people who question Holocaust orthodoxy actually wind up in jail. Now, in the United States, they wouldn't wind up in jail, but you could wind up in poverty. And this is the thing. You have suppression of free speech, but rather than it being typically from the government, it's coming from private entities. But, you know, in the case of Twitter, in the case of Facebook, and, these big social media platforms and internet platforms, these are monopolies that are whose businesses rest on largely government-created infrastructure, the internet. So, and does it really matter? does it really matter if our free speech is restricted by the government or restricted by corporate masters?
It really doesn't. In a way, it's actually worse when it's the corporations, because I think it's much easier to remove a government from power. Governments fall
very good
a lot
point.
Quicker
very
than,
good point.
Than these corporations. And these corporations, when they have a monopolistic power, especially when their monopolistic power is, say over something like, say like Facebook, say you've got a monopoly on a social network or on these, that you're the owner of the biggest social networking platform in the whole world, that is an awful, awful amount of power, a ridiculous amount, because that then becomes sort of a hub where people go to speak, people go to express themselves. It becomes the new sort of public space. It becomes the place where people go to talk about politics, to debate, to have all kinds of discourse about different topics, many of them political. So people might go there and they might talk about the transgender issue. They might talk about mass migration. They might talk about the Islamization of the West. But as all of this is happening, Facebook is watching. Facebook is watching. It is censoring. It is also doing more insidious things now. So, you know, if you like something on Facebook that Facebook don't want you to like, you might get a little message saying liking things like this might get you a visit from the police.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Something on YouTube at the moment that's coming up. Somebody was watching one of my videos. Now, my videos don't have advertisements on them anymore. My channel's been completely demonetized. Yet there are adverts appearing on my videos, and these adverts are for a group called Exit UK. Now, Exit UK isn't anything to do with Brexit. It's a group, a charity that's been set up to help people leave toxic right-wing movements. So if you're actually watching my videos, you think you'd get similar recommendations. You'd be like, did you enjoy Mark's video? Well, if the answer is yes, you might get Vincent from the Red Elephants. You might get Squatting Slav. You might get Devon Stack. You might get Way of the World or Laura Towler or Morgoth. But
once upon a time, you might have gotten National Bugle Radio.
Exactly. But now you get Exit UK. And this is very insidious, because not only are they banning free speech, not only are they censoring people, not only are they taking away people's Facebook profiles, and people's Facebook profiles, let's not try and claim it's like getting killed or anything like that. You know, losing your Facebook profile isn't the same as getting bullets in the back of the head or, you know, having your family farm burned down or anything like that. But it is still something big. You know, you might have hundreds or thousands of pictures of your partner, your children, days out, family photos that are all quite dear to you and all actually have quite a large sentimental value. Mm-hmm. And if Facebook just decides, well, we're taking that down, we're trashing it, it's gone, your profile's finished, mate.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and,
over.
And some people probably rely on that rather than on hard copies or keeping even these image files on their own computers, just because of the convenience and because of the implicit promise from Facebook that this is a good, safe place to store it. And then, of course, all the photos sent from their friends that they might not have ever downloaded. It would be like,
yeah.
It would be like, you know, losing your photo album, losing letters from the past. This is the type of thing that does happen when your house burns down, although it's not as catastrophic as having your house burned down, but maybe having boxes of old photos and letters flooded and becoming worthless, which is, it is something. It's something.
No, of course it is. And when we're talking about things like this, when we're discussing it, you've got to remember normal people see things very differently to the way we do. To somebody who's, you know, a regular guy who, you know, might be in his 60s, who's got all his grandkids' photos on there, who's got, you know, that's his way of keeping in touch with, you know, his children. They link him things, they send him pictures of his grandkids, they tag him in things. You know, to him, the idea of losing his Facebook account, he might feel like a criminal. You know, it's quite threatening for normal people. And all of this all of this is very, very insidious. And I say, especially the little notes, you know, should you be clicking on this? You know, are you reading something that you shouldn't be reading? You know, could reading something like this land you a prison sentence? Maybe you should watch this video from Exit UK. This is all very insidious.
You know, by the way, reading something that would give you a prison sentence, keep in mind that in New Zealand and is it Australia as well, to read the Christchurch shooter's manifesto carries a 14-year sentence.
Yeah, exactly. And all of this is totally unmoderated. So Facebook can do all of this, and there's no moderation. There's no way to call a public inquiry. There's no way to actually pull them up. There's no sort of standards board. There's no way to vote them out. You know, if you don't like what Facebook are doing, there's no way to write to your local Facebook representative that you can't say, well, tomorrow we're voting Facebook out of Facebook out. We're going to vote for a different social networking company to come and take over. It doesn't work like that. There's no way to actually change things. There's no way to shift the discourse. They are a privately owned company that can more or less do whatever they want. And at the end of the day, that places them with a unique amount of power. So, well, two unique amounts of powers. Firstly, they've got their monopoly power. Secondly, well, actually three. Secondly, they have this huge sort of all-seeing eye. They're in charge of people's data. They can see what people are liking. They can see the connections people make. They have this huge amount of knowledge that we couldn't really even comprehend. And thirdly, there is no oversight. So they've got this massive monopoly. They've got this huge amount of knowledge and power, and then there's no oversight to the way they use that monopoly and the way they use all the data they've got. And that's a very uniquely dangerous position for a company to be in, especially when these companies are overwhelmingly either owned or controlled by people who are, well, they're either members of the tribe or they're pushing very, very pro-Jewish or pro-Israeli messages. And with those messages come messages of liberalism, multiculturalism, sort of pro-migration, and that presents a huge threat to the Western world. Mm-hmm. Because everything being pushed across these platforms is pro-liberalism, pro-degeneracy, pro-multiculturalism, and any kind of resistance that might grow or might be found is being absolutely destroyed because it doesn't have a chance. And as I say, this is very, very worrying. It's a tool of control.
You know, you mentioned Facebook being a private company, and it even though Facebook's shares have been they did very, very poorly earlier this year, and I wouldn't advise owning them, except perhaps one share. And if you have one share, you can go to their general shareholders meeting, which they hold somewhere in or near their headquarters out there in California. I'm not quite sure where. I'm trying to look. It's at the end of May. It's typically at the end. It was May 30th this year. And, you know, at general shareholders meetings, people can sometimes ask questions. I mean, people can ask questions, and you may be the one called. But even if you're not the one called, you could go there and, you might, if depending on what you want to do, you might just ask a question anyway, shout out a question, or you might demonstrate or do something. You know, there's a variety of ways of doing it. You can do the Code Pink style, you can do the Patrick Little style, there's all sorts of things that you can do, or you might be lucky enough to ask a question. That's something to do. But by the way, this is something Dr. Duke talks about all the time with the New York Times. Let's see. Facebook has, just like the New York Times, it has Class A shares and Class B shares. And the Class B shares are controlled by Mark Zuckerberg, and they get 10 times as many votes per share as Class A. So, like, you can invest in Facebook, and if it does well, you know, you get some profit. But in terms of taking over the company. There's no way anybody can take over the company the way it's structured. It's Zuckerberg's thing. And you look at the guy, and do you really? And what's he doing? What is Facebook? It's really about making it fun for you to spy on yourself, to surveil yourself, and provide that to not even the deep state, but to what would we call it? Deep Zio? Deep Jew? I don't know what to say. You see what I'm getting at?
I certainly do. I certainly do. And on the issue of going to these events and saying things, everyone should be doing this. You see, very soon we aren't going to be online the way we are now. You know, YouTube will be cut off to us all. Facebook will be cut off to us all. Twitter will be cut off to us all. We'll be on Gab. We'll be on VK. We'll be on BitChute. But one place they can't just get rid of us from is the real world. And this is the really interesting thing. You see, for too long we focused on the online world, and we haven't been focusing on the real world. We've been focusing on this idea that if we win the debates online, if we can just secure free speech on these big platforms, then we can keep talking about the issues and keep winning the debates. And it's not actually getting us anywhere, but that's becoming a narrower path to walk now. It's becoming a harder path to walk. But when these debates take place, when these conservative ink gatherings occur, there isn't anything that can really stop you going to those and talking to other people. Whereas you can be muted online, you can be blocked, you can be deplatformed. More or less anyone, unless they're a very well-known face, can turn up at these events and cause quite a stir just by asking a very leading, truthful question, or a question that would lead to the truth, a truth that these people don't want to discuss. And I sort of echo what you're saying there, that people should be going, they should be asking questions, and they should be trying to embarrass these people by showing them up as the blatant hypocrites they are. Because all of these people at Conservative Inc., whilst they constantly talk about freedom of speech, they constantly say, oh, we need freedom of speech on campus, we need freedom of speech. In the Republican Party, the Democrats are stifling Republicans' freedom of speech. They are massive hypocrites, because everyone at Conservative Inc. want freedom of speech to be curtailed to everyone to the right of them. And you'll often see a great example of this is a guy that I'd never heard of until the other week. There's a guy called Sebastian Gorka. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I know about Sebastian.
I'd never heard of him. He's one of these people that when he writes a book, when he writes a book, he has his name across the top of the book, bigger than the title of the book. That always really amuses me, because so it says across the top, like, Gorka, and then like in small text underneath the name of the book. I always find that quite amusing, because you'd think you'd want the name of the book at the top, and sort of the author would be sort of like, you know, written by, but no. He's obviously a complete egotist. Now, this guy is one of these ones that constantly talks about free speech on campuses, Republicans getting a fair say. And recently he's been allowing people to say very, very violent and horrible things about people he opposes, people he wants freedom of speech taken away from. Now, the other day, somebody said to me, oh gosh, you must read this tweet that he sent out. And I clicked on the tweet to find out I'd been blocked by him. It says, you are not allowed to view Sebastian Gorka's tweet. And I was like, I hadn't heard of this clown until the other day, and he's already got me blocked on Twitter. And this really does sum up how fragile and how pathetic these sort of free speech warriors are that are part of Conservative Inc.
Okay, well, after coming back from the break, I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Sebastian Gorka, and then we'll get into Conservative Inc. and what can you do at home? We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Okay, so regarding Sebastian Gorka, so he's somebody that maybe 2.5 years ago I had never heard of. He came in with the new Trump administration. So the new Trump administration was pretty disappointing because he tried to go establishment Republican, but there were some people who, at first glance might have been interesting. People who came in more with Steve Bannon than the Republican establishment. So you had Steve Bannon, who, of course, is Zionist, but he was some sort of nationalist, a civic nationalist, but some sort of nationalist. And Steve Miller, the speechwriter, who's Jewish, but seems to be hardcore on immigration. There's some questions as to whether he's leading people to defeat or whatnot. And then another character was this Sebastian Gorka. And I look at him, and when I see a name like Gorka, I don't immediately know what kind of name Gorka is. So I want to know. I want to know these things. And so when I'm watching, anybody who's ever seen Boomer Vision or heard Boomer Vision, which is when I do the show by myself where I'm yelling at the TV, when somebody comes up on the TV, that's what I do. I say, oh, this person, what's their background? So I looked into him. And his parents were Hungarian, and they fled to Britain with the failed uprising in Hungary. Now, the thing about the uprising in Hungary in 1956 that David Irving chronicled is it was actually an anti-Jewish uprising because the Communist Party and the government of Hungary had been run by Jews. So anybody who fled Hungary in 1956, you would think they were Jews. Now, I don't have any indication that his parents actually were Jews, so it would lead you to think, well, maybe his parents were cooperating with the Jews and left. I don't know, but here's something. There seems to be some sort of indication that Sebastian Gorka's mother cooperated with David Irving writing the book Uprising. Now, the book Uprising wasn't necessarily anti-Jewish, but it was just objectively making the point that that Hungary was ruled by Jews, and that the anti-government uprising in 1956 was an anti-Jewish uprising. It was just making that case. Apparently, Sebastian Gorka has some connections with the Jobbik Party in Hungary, which is far to the nationalist right of Viktor Orban, who is seen as one of the most nationalist leaders in Europe. But the Jobbik Party wanted to make lists of Jews in Hungary. But Sebastian Gorka is, in the context of the United States, in the context of the Trump White House, he worked for Trump for about 6 months, the first 6 months of the administration. He was very, very, very pro-Jewish, or pro-Israel, I'm sorry. So his background is kind of a little bit slippery, hard to get a hold of. But yeah, he's very egotistical. And even though Andrew Anglin is calling him a fat boomer, he's born in 1970, so he's not a boomer. So now that I've given
you a lot older than that, he's only 10 years older than me. Gosh, that guy.
He's 49. He's 49.
He's aged like a banana.
So I've got, and this is kind of fun. So I've got on DavidDuke.com. If you were to go to DavidDuke.com and look at the show title, because David Duke was talking about Charlie Kirk and Sebastian Gorka, and I got a picture of the two of them standing in front of what seems to be a men's room door. And of course, the astroturfed right that is represented by Gorka and Charlie Kirk, it's to make conservatism safe for gayness and Zionism. And so, you know, for the caption of the photo of them standing in front of this door, it's like, well, they're headed into the men's room for gayness and Zionism. go there and look at it. That's okay. So this is our short segment. So we've got only a couple more minutes before the next break. But this whole people are going and they're asking questions at Charlie Kirk's book tour. So Charlie Kirk, who was the founder, he's this 20-something-year-old founder of Turning Point USA, sometimes called Talking Points USA. He gets to go around and talk at various college campuses. So he's having this big national tour of college campuses. Now, it's interesting that the Antifa doesn't come out against him. I thought he was conservative, and you know, the Antifa, well, they didn't just come out against and disrupt Richard Spencer or Milo Yiannopoulos, but even Ann Coulter, who had been pretty reliably neocon for most of her career. If she tried to make a speech, that would be destroyed by the Antifa. The Antifa, why is it that they don't care about Charlie Kirk making his speeches?
Well, the thing with Charlie Kirk, and he's a very interesting guy in this sense, is he's part of this group of, what can I call them, sort of neocons, you know, sort of, they're certainly not nationalists, they're not traditionalists, they're not patriots. They've got this weird idea, haven't they, about conservatism, where they like to sort of claim that everything degenerate, evil and liberal is in fact a conservative value. So Charlie Kirk is now standing with this drag queen who calls itself Lady Marga. But I suppose we'll have to hear more about that after the break.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more about Lady Marga.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And we are back, and this is the Lady MAGA show. So what about Lady MAGA?
Well, I found this really funny because, obviously, at this moment in time, one of the biggest sort of threats to our children is this kind of drag queen story hour nonsense. It's this idea that, you know, drag queens and other assorted degenerates should be sat in libraries, public libraries, reading to our children. Now, most decent people would find the idea of that absolutely abhorrent. It's disgusting. And anyone that would describe themselves as a conservative, you would think, and rightfully so, would be up in arms about this. They'd be like, well, you know, this isn't good. This isn't, you know, what we want. You know, the idea of drag queen story hour is absolutely abhorrent. But this sort of Charlie Kirk and his sort of friends like Sebastian Gorka, they're all saying things now like, well, drag queen story hour is a conservative value. You know, it's conservative values are values that allow drag queens to go into libraries. It allows people to have this freedom of expression. That's the heart of conservatism. What the heart of conservatism is taking sort of 2 to 4 year olds to a library to see a man dressed up as a woman in some sort of perverse outfit with bloodstained devil horns protruding from his head. You know, and here's Charlie Kirk hugging this Lady MAGA creature, you know, with a big smile on his face. You know, hey, this is the new face of conservatism. Here's your conservative drag queen. Roll up, get your conservative drag queens here. And it's like, oh my God. And these people really do seem to think, well, they're either one of two things, aren't they? They're either naively stupid to the point where they're basically almost lobotomized, or they're absolutely evil and they're doing this to take people down the wrong route. Because their motto seems to be that if they adopt every point that their enemy makes, but then claim those points are conservative points, that means they're winning. You know, that means that they're actually on top of their game. And this is the craziness. You see, liberals will push things like same-sex marriage, homosexual adoption. They'll push things like drug use, sanctuary cities. They'll push open borders. And conservatives have slowly adopted every single one of those issues and tried to claim them as their own. So Charlie Kirk will say, look, we don't want all these Mexicans coming across the border illegally. We want them coming across the border legally. Well, that's exactly the same point. And he'll argue it's not the same point, but it is, because it leads to the same outcome. You know, if it leads to the same outcome, you know, it's the same point. It's like saying, oh, we're not going to shoot you in the head. We're going to shoot you in the heart. We're completely different to those other guys over there who are going to shoot you in the head. Well, not really, because I'm going to end up dead either way. And you know, this whole thing with these conservatives is they don't mind if white genocide occurs. They don't mind if the Great Replacement occurs. They don't mind if America becomes majority non-white and whites are a minority everywhere in America, as long as all of the non-whites that have taken the places and been part of this Great Replacement have little pieces of paper that state they're American citizens, and then it's all okay. Whereas the liberals, their real bone of contention here with the conservatives is that they don't really mind whether it's done legally or illegally. They don't really care. They just want the non-whites here, whatever. But the conservatives are like, whoa, we're happy to let them all in, but they have to apply for their papers first. Mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk then isn't really pushing anything different to what the liberals are doing. So, you know, what's his problem with Drag Queen Story Hour that, I don't understand. So Drag Queen Story Hour is okay as long as kids get to sort of opt out if they want. What? You know, so I don't understand. Because to me, putting your child in front of a sexual deviant isn't the right thing to do. That's just not right. That shouldn't be happening. You know, public libraries should be about places of education. They should be places where kids go to read books, places where children go to study. They shouldn't be going there for to see a sort of a drag show, some sexual deviant affair. That's not what they're there for. But conservatives are now saying they are, but only under certain circumstances. Like, immigration's only okay if it's legally done. You know, white genocide's okay if it's rubber stamped by the government. And this really makes these conservatives an absolute parody of what they are. But it also shows them up, or a parody of conservatism, because they're not really conserving anything, are they? They're just rubber stamping the same evil that liberals push. But the great thing about this is it does expose the fact that we're the only real alternative, mm-hmm. that we're the only people saying immigration, doesn't matter if it's legal, doesn't matter if it's illegal, we don't want these people coming here.
Yeah.
We believe that white nations should remain white nations.
So, and, you know, I think we believe that Oriental nations should remain Oriental nations, right? It's not as if this is not a supremacist thing, this is a survivalist thing, really. There's two points I want to make. One I made last week on Patriotic Weekly Review with James Alsup when he was on. And, you know, there's often a lot of talk. You hear a lot about, you know, what you just said, that conservatives are just, they just concede. And that's true. But, you know, you probably recall I made the point that if you were a anti-war leftist from the 1970s or the 1980s, you would be making the same point about the liberals, that, you know, they just concede. Or, you know, if you were an anti-corporate natorist, it's the same thing, because you look at the left and we're not against wars. We just don't want them to be imperialist wars. We want them to be humanitarian wars. That would be the mirror image, right? corporations. Oh, you know, we're not against corporations. We just want them to be push social justice, right? So, what's the common thread here? The common thread is that the what I call the Jewish agenda, there's a foreign policy agenda, there's an economic agenda, there's a social agenda. Well, certainly that social agenda has for decades been championed by the Zio left, by the J left, whatever you want to call it, by the Democrats, and they've been pushing for homosexuality and abortion and feminism and now transsexualism and who knows what's next. And of course, the immigration, which wasn't always, in more recently, immigration too. And then their wars for Israel and just wars for war in general, wars for creating business opportunities, that was dished out mostly to the Republicans. But the Republicans, they might talk about abortion. They might talk about, social values and whatnot. But they were losers. They were the Washington Generals to the other side's Harlem Globetrotters. Or they were, if you've seen pro wrestling, they were the people who were scripted to lose. Although they were scripted to win on the wars, and the liberal anti-war people were scripted to lose. That's the way I look at it. One last point I want to make regarding Charlie Kirk. Now, for instance, to be perfectly fair, Charlie Kirk's position on immigration, he says he is against the diversity lottery, that he's against chain migration. And if we could get rid of chain migration and the visa lottery, those would be huge victories. So why shouldn't we look at Charlie Kirk as being based, as Charlie Kirk as being an anti-immigration activist? Because he's not. Because those are just little check boxes that he's checked. But the whole thrust of everything he does is to get conservatives to accept the idea of legal immigration, maybe not through those old categories, but through new categories, the H-1B or other categories, where they come in, and it doesn't matter if they're from China, it doesn't matter if they're racially or culturally different, if they're from China or India or Africa or wherever, because as long as they have conservative values of what family, family with two lesbian parents and adopted transsexual kid, I don't know. But so, it does. Somebody can say, oh yeah, I've had this position all my life. But what's been the emphasis? What have you actually devoted your energy to? And have you been devoting your energy to getting conservatives to accept homosexuality and transsexualism and Israel first? It doesn't matter if you checked the boxes for being against, nominally against the visa lottery. You see what I mean? I mean, to be perfectly fair, some of his positions, some of his technical positions are actually fine, but that's not what his work is aimed at. You see what I mean?
No. I do see what you mean. I mean, I see a little bit of a parallel here with the sort of Boris Johnson. We've talked about this before.
And I'd like to hear about Boris Johnson, because you're our resident Briton.
Well, Boris Johnson, in my opinion, is a complete fraud. The guy is a complete sellout. The Conservative Party has always been a party that has had a policy that relates to immigration, hugely to an immigration cap. To the idea that immigration should be capped, that there should be a limit to how many people can come into the country every year. And the Conservatives have always said, they want to get it down into the tens of thousands rather than the hundreds of thousands. And each year under the Conservatives, we've seen, up to about 850,000 people a year coming into the UK, which is huge, huge numbers, especially for an island this small. Now, That's a growth, in real terms, that's a growth of over 1% of the population each year. Now, what we're talking about here is the amount of people it would take to fill a city larger than the city of Manchester. Mm. So you're talking, you know, you're talking about building a city the size of Manchester every year. It's crazy. And it's why we've got so many problems. But Boris Johnson, here he comes, he's Mr. Brexit. So people would naturally think, because he's Mr. Brexit, that he wants to get a grip of mass immigration, because after all, many people vote for Brexit because they wanted to get a grip of mass immigration. So at first you're going to be thinking, is he our guy? Is he the guy that's going to sort things out? Is he the guy that's going to get a grip of the migration nightmare? Well, the answer is no. The answer is no. He's talking, on one hand, about an Australian points-based immigration system. Well, that seems to be the preserve of everybody who wants, you know, everyone on the conservative right who doesn't want to sound like a racist. You know, we need an Australian points-based immigration
system. Have you been to Australia lately? That's my question.
Yeah, yeah. Australia's absolutely overrun. House prices are terrible. The prices of most things there are terrible. It's a very expensive place to live. It's overcrowded. You can see that whites will become a minority there, you know, in the you know, near future. You can see how things are going over there. Now, the issue being, that sounds really good. And it sounds good to all of these sort of Charlie Kirk types. But as soon as you analyse what Boris is saying and look a bit deeper, he's also talking about an amnesty for all illegal immigrants in the UK. Well, that's not good. That's not good at all. What does that mean? I mean, that's like saying, if you break the law and you do it well enough, then we'll reward you with the thing that you want.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Right, yeah. So if you get away with it, you get away with it. Yeah,
if you break the law and get away with it, and you do it consistently, then we'll basically wipe the slate clean and claim that everything, all your ill-gotten gains are your own. Well, that's like saying to a fraudster, well, if you successfully commit fraud for sort of 5 years, and you manage to defraud the government of 100,000 per year. Once you've done it for 5 years and made 500,000, you know, or whichever comes sooner, we'll give you an amnesty. We'll let you off for that because you're so good at being a criminal. You know, you deserve a clean slate. And that's what he's saying to these illegal immigrants. Well, if you've broken into our country, if you've evaded capture, if you've basically played the system for 5 years, well, you know, it'd be unfair then to send you home, wouldn't it? Because after all, you've been such a good criminal, so successful in your criminality that the government should reward you. Well, that's insanity. That doesn't make any sense. That's just madness. But that's what Boris Johnson wants to do. But also you have to ask yourself, his Australian points-based system is only as good as the man setting the points. Well, I don't trust the man who wants amnesty for all illegal immigrants to set the points on the Australian points-based system. Because if the man setting the points on the Australian points-based system is also the man who's allowing this huge swamping mass of people to be given amnesty, why is he going to set a stringent points-based system? What are the points going to be? You know, if he's so eager to give hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people amnesty who are criminals, why would he fashion a wonderful points-based system that's only going to let in rocket scientists and brain surgeons? Well, he's not, is he? He's not to be trusted. But he's another Charlie Kirk character. He's another one of these people that, at first, he has all these conservatives clapping like seals, thinking that they're outwitting the liberals. You know, they're owning the libs. We're owning the libs. They're not owning anyone. They're just adopting liberal values. Now, every liberal in the UK would jump at a chance for an amnesty, but it's the Conservative Prime Minister who's handing out the amnesty. Every liberal politician in the UK has said, we need no cap on immigration. Yet it's a Conservative Prime Minister that is removing the cap on immigration. And again, it's a Charlie Kirk scenario. You've got a so-called conservative who's essentially rubber stamping the Great Replacement. Mm-hmm. But he's doing it legally. It's all being done legally. It's all being done above board. You know, he's legally giving out passports to illegal immigrants. He's legally allowing millions of these people to swamp here. Because as long as all their papers are stamped with the big Boris rubber stamp, you know, Yeah. It's above board. So politely applaud your replacement.
So just for our listeners who might be unfamiliar with Charlie Kirk, earlier this year, when under State Department pressure, the African country of Botswana legalized gay sex, Charlie Kirk on Twitter announced, "Boom! Another big victory for Donald Trump and his Make America Great agenda." So, boom! That's Charlie Kirk.
Boom! These people are going to be legally allowed to sodomize one
and
another.
Spread AIDS. This is a country. I mean, this is a country where, like, the AIDS rate is something like 30 or 40%. So, boom! More boom. AIDS for Africa.
Boom! Let's get them sodomizing each
that's
other.
That's the kind of
even more.
That's the yeah. What is it? What was that aid concert that the British had 30 years ago for Africa? Aid for Africa. Now it's AIDS for Africa. Okay, so this is Live AIDS. Live AIDS with Charlie Kirk. Okay, we'll be right.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000-plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Okay, we are back, and you mentioned Boris Johnson, who's not to be trusted, but who did he wasn't able to get a Halloween Brexit done, but has managed to get a parliamentary approval for early elections. What is it? Is it the 16th of December? Coming up in mid-December. How are those shaping up? Who should people vote for?
Well, this is all quite interesting because you rightly said that Brexit hasn't happened. It was meant to happen on October the 31st, and I remember Boris Johnson saying, he would rather be dead in a ditch than grant a Brexit extension. Well, he didn't really go down fighting, did he? He rolled over like a puppy dog that wanted its tummy tickled.
I don't know. I look from the outside. Did he have his hands tied, or did he roll over?
He rolled over. Okay. He rolled over. You know, he could have refused to send the letter to Brussels. He could have done numerous things. He could say, "We're not doing that." This, you know, but he didn't. He didn't. Okay. He rolled over. And essentially, when you look at what's going to go on at this election, it's going to be very much a battleground based around Brexit. It's going to be a Brexit battle. But at the end of it, the people won't get the Brexit they voted for. Boris Johnson has taken no deal off the table. He's saying that, you know, part of his Conservative manifesto will say, you know, we promise not to leave with no deal. We're taking no deal off the table. Well, that's horrific. That's absolutely horrific. You know, he's now rolling over on every single one of his promises. He said, you know, we are leaving deal or no deal on the 31st. Whether we have a deal or not, we're leaving. Now he's saying we will definitely not leave without a deal. You know, there's another Brexit extension. There's going to be a general election.
So
it's absolute chaos. And you shouldn't vote for this man. Do not vote for him.
So is Nigel Farage's Brexit party, are they going to be running?
They are, but it's unclear what tactic people are going to be taking. Nigel Farage's Brexit party could attack Labour heartlands. They could go out against Labour to ensure that the Conservatives get a powerful majority with an eye to bringing about Brexit. If they go all out and go up against Conservatives in Conservative heartlands, as well as going up against Labour in Labour heartlands, then there could just be absolute chaos, and it'd be very, very hard to call a winner in that case. But if they try to help the Conservatives, essentially what I'm saying is the Brexit Party could be the kingmaker.
They're in a position to be the kingmaker if they choose, or they're in the position to be the chaos bringer if they choose.
Yes.
Have you seen any polls? What do the polls show?
I'm not a big believer in polls, okay. But they aren't. They're suggesting a Conservative win, but they're suggesting a narrow Conservative win. And the problem with a narrow Conservative win is that would mean the Conservatives had a very small majority, which is exactly what got them in this mess in the first place.
I get one more question, because we just have a minute left. But Jeremy Corbyn, who, you know, in terms of Brexit and immigration and whatnot, is useless. But a lot of Jews in Britain seem to think that he's going to put them in ovens. Is there a lot of freaking out about Jeremy Corbyn perhaps becoming prime minister?
Bizarrely, the freaking out about Jeremy Corbyn coming prime minister is being done mainly by the right-wing press. It's sort of your neocon press, like your Daily Mail, which is now going, oh my God, Labour must be stopped because we must protect the Jews from these rabid anti-Semites. That's actually the sort of neocon conservative press that's doing that. The left-wing press doesn't really care about the accusations of anti-Semitism because the accusations of anti-Semitism are completely untrue. Jeremy Corbyn isn't an anti-Semite. He's just critical of Israel.
And who's the guest on Patriotic Weekly Review on Wednesday?
Devon Stack, a.k.a. Blackpilled. He's got one of the biggest YouTube channels out there. It's a first-time guest. I can't wait. It's going to be massive.
Sounds great. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.